Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Earlier today, President Biden delivered a long overdue speech on the skyrocketing inflation crisis in America. He shockingly took a few questions from reporters and not so shockingly took a few shots, mostly at Republicans. With 8.5% inflation, the highest gas prices in history, and a sinking stock market, blue-collar Joe took zero responsibility for the debilitating rising prices and gave us no insight on how he plans to fight inflation. Anybody surprised by this? No. Friends, it's time for Hold the Line.
When you look at the economy today, it's clear we've made enormous strides. And our plans and our policies have produced the strongest job creation economy in modern times. In addition, 8.3 million jobs in my first 15 months in office, a record. Unemployment rates are down to 3.6%, the fastest decline in unemployment to start a presidential term ever recorded. Our economy has gone from being on the mend to on the move.
Biden's amazing, isn't he? Friends, welcome to Hold the Line. I'm Buck Sexton. It's stunning to hear this guy pretend like the whole country isn't seeing what it's seeing right now. His administration is a joke. I mean, this is a Biden administration that just seems to live in an alternate universe, some kind of a fantasy land where they're doing a good job, where the things that they want to do even still wouldn't make things markedly worse, particularly from the perspective of inflation. But there's a whole range of issues, a whole range of things you can point to and say, hold on a second. Why would spending more money at a time of high inflation make things better? Why is the Green New Deal mentality of being opposed to domestic fossil fuel production anything other than a drag on productivity that raises prices overall? Why not unleash the American energy sector? Oh, because, my friends, they would then have to admit that they've been wrong. Democrats' ideas for the economy are bad. Socialism and modern monetary theory and these other ideas that have increasingly taken center stage for the Democrats are a bad idea. and that they need to actually go in directions that are against their base on this stuff. The environmentalist wacko left, the commies who are running around talking about constant pay your fair share and wealth redistribution. And yeah, it turns out just promising to at some point wipe away college debt isn't actually, student loan debt isn't actually going to be a big boom for the economy. No surprise here. But Joe Biden really politically has no options here that don't involve either admitting they're wrong and doing things that his base doesn't want him to do, or just keep the delusion going, keep the fantasy moving along. Biden tweeted right after he gave the speech earlier today, "My plan will lower your costs. Congressional Republicans' plan will lower your income. It's that simple." Explain that one. Democrats are the one to tax and tax and tax you people. We know that. That's their favorite thing to do is decide who needs to give more money to the government. Not them, of course. They always, the rich Democrats who make these decisions, they've got an army of tax attorneys and accountants to make sure they pay the bare minimum. But they want you. They want the wage earner, the small business owner. They want the everyday folks in America to pay their fair share. They say it's billionaires or whatever, but we all know that's crap. You could take all the money that the billionaires have and you wouldn't fund the government for more than a few months. And that means take all their money, not just take a greater percentage of their earnings. So what exactly is the plan here? Well, he likes to say that he's going to somehow bring down prices. How? Price controls would be absolutely disastrous. They tried that in Venezuela. It didn't work out so well. Tried it in other places too. So they can't really mandate that prices are lower unless they want to completely implode sectors of the economy. So what's the plan? To spend more money? Well, the issue with that is that's what caused the inflation in the first place. So instead of though saying, you know what, we need to do some different things here. We need to rein in spending. We need to unleash the private sector. We need to get rid of stupid regulations. We need to allow for the full might of the American domestic energy sector to be unleashed. Biden just says, well, Republicans who aren't in power, don't have the House, don't have the Senate, don't have the presidency, they don't have a plan to solve things. And in fact, they want to raise your taxes. This is what Biden's now going with.
They don't want to solve inflation by lowering your costs. They want to solve it by raising your taxes and lowering your income. I happen to think it's a good thing when American families have a little more money in their pockets at the end of the month. But the Republicans in Congress don't seem to think so. Their plan has actually made working families, it's going to make working families poor.
How is that going to happen? Lower taxes, more economic growth and prosperity, government out of order, going to make families poorer. How exactly? But you see, now they're just getting desperate politically because the messaging isn't working. No one's really buying into this Biden nonsense. And so he's going to have to go to the old Democrat playbook. Now, they're going to make a lot of noise in the media on behalf of this Biden regime about the insurrection and all this other stuff. Of course, that's not a surprise. But that's not going to move the needle for them in key states and key races where they know they're already way underwater in terms of the polls. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going to talk about, you know, just making stuff up like Trump Republicans or MAGA Republicans, which what is that, by the way, are going to threaten your Social Security, your Medicare and your Medicaid. Watch.
How well are we going to sleep at night knowing that every 5 years, MAGA Republicans, if they're still the Republican, this, as I said, this is not your father's Republican Party. If we're going to have to vote on whether you will have Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and what amounts you'll have in each of those programs. You know what they're likely to do? Use them as hostages every 5 years to get their way on other things.
I mean, what is this senile old man muttering about? You really do have to wonder sometimes. You watch this and you say, what? Every 5 years, holding hostage, talking about Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid? Is that what Republicans are saying? Are they all saying they're going to get rid of those programs? No, of course not. But Biden just said, oh, that will scare people. Got to scare old people. Scare them with COVID, of course. Double mask. Don't go out of your house. Is it that's going to save anybody? And now scare them with losing the benefits programs they've been into for decades. They'll try anything. This Democrat Party will try anything. Because they're fundamentally dishonest, of course. And this was just, this is a reminder, they pretend to care so much about the little guy and gal. They pretend to be all about the working folks. Well, they're a party run by elites. A party run by elites with a far left agenda that includes a fixation on identity politics that are the most divisive and combustible politics imaginable. But they're the elites. They live in fancy, you know, rich people neighborhoods. They don't care about what happens in most of the country. It's not really their problem. They pretend to. I mean, here's Joe Biden just at the White House Correspondents' Dinner when they're making jokes about inflation. Ha ha, ha ha. It's not funny to a lot of people. Watch.
You know, I think ever since you've come into office, things are really looking up. You know, gas is up, rent is up, food is up, everything. No, it really has been a tough first year for you, Mr. President.
Yeah, tough first year because he's not good at the job. By the way, Jen Psaki, who is still White House press secretary for the time being, weighed in on this. I mean, this is just absurd. I was saying inflation was going to go up. Everybody on the right has been saying inflation is going to be a problem. And they were lying to you and saying it would be transitory, whatever. Biden comes into office, inflation starts to take off like a rocket ship. And now she wants to pretend like, who could have known? We all knew. Watch.
We know if we look at the recent inflation data, depending on which data you look at, 2/3 to even 70% of inflation data is a result of energy prices. A large part of that is the result, and Chairman Powell has spoken to this, and Secretary Yellen has also spoken to this, as a result of President Putin's invasion of Ukraine and the impact on the global energy markets. Those are all steps and impacts that I don't think anyone could have predicted a year ago.
All right, we'll have more on the Biden economy and inflation with the Chief Communications Officer for the America First Policy Institute, Mark Lauder. But right now I want to tell you about the silencer shop. I'm a big Second Amendment supporter, as you know. For a lot of gun owners, they've discovered a suppressor is fantastic. Makes the whole shooting experience more fun, protects your hearing, improves your accuracy, minimizes recoil. Suppressors are 100% legal in 43 states. So if you actually want to try a suppressor out, which you should, go through the silencer shop. They have a variety of suppressors starting at just $365. My friends at the Silencer Shop are the industry leaders for suppressors. They're a Texas-based company. They excel at customer service. You've got to check them out for yourself. They'll treat you like family. You can get more details on how to get your first silencer, hopefully more than just one, at the Silencer Shop website. Just go to silencershop.com. That's silencershop.com for all your suppressor needs. We'll be right back with more Hold the Line. Support for my podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools. Manscaped's performance package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with its exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code BUCK at manscaped.com. The Performance Package 4.0 includes a ton of men's grooming products like the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a bunch of other great men's hygiene products you never knew you needed, plus a travel bag to hold it all. The Lawnmower trimmer is the best. It's got a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents, and it's waterproof, so no more messes on the bathroom floor. You'll also get the waterproof Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer with proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps reduce nicks, snags, and tugs in all those delicate areas. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BUCK at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use code BUCK to unlock your confidence and always use the right tools with Manscaped. According to a recent CNN poll, Americans' views of the nation's economy really bad these days, the worst in a decade, with only 23% rating current economic conditions as even somewhat good. That pessimism also reflects on President Biden, whose ratings for handling the economy remain sharply negative. 8 in 10 people say the Biden administration isn't doing enough to combat inflation. So you'd think the president would address this in today's speech, right? Nah. He decided to pass the blame onto other people, of course. Watch.
I want us to be crystal clear about the problem. There are two leading causes of inflation we're seeing today. The first cause of inflation is a once-in-a-century pandemic. Not only did it shut down our global economy, it threw the supply chains and demand completely out of whack. A second cause, Mr. Putin's war in Ukraine. We saw in March that 60% of inflation that month was due to price increases at the pump.
Joining me now with reaction to all this, Chief Communications Officer at America First Policy Institute, Mark Lauder. Mark, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Buck.
I mean, just what was your top line, first and foremost? What are your top line thoughts on the Biden speech today? And we've got the inflation number coming out tomorrow. I'm guessing it's not going to be good.
No, I think we've seen in our economic experts here expect it somewhere between 8.1, 8.3%, which is still unbelievably high. 40-year highs. I mean, we're going back to the Carter year, basically, you know, with the last time inflation was this high. And Joe Biden is showing he has no knowledge or recognition of why it's happening. It's because your Fed is printing trillions of dollars. It's because you're spending trillions of dollars that didn't need to be spent with your latest COVID relief package in when you first came in office, and then more government spending on top of it. And your war on energy is what's causing these price hikes at the pump. I mean, today it was reported we have the highest gas prices on record in U.S. history. I looked back on this day 2 years ago in 2020, $1.83 a gallon. I'd take that any day of the week and a few mean tweets to go with it.
Can't disagree with you there. Biden, though, to your point about whether he even understands or is willing to speak truthfully about what the core cause is here, his belief, as he said today during the speech, Mark, is that what they've done, their policies help inflation. Watch this.
Do you take any responsibility for your policies?
I think our policies help, not hurt. Think about what they say. The vast majority of the economists think that this is going to be a real tough problem to solve, but it's not because of spending.
It is because of spending. I wonder, what does he think it is because? He can blame it on COVID, but the point is the money spent to combat COVID, trillions of it unnecessarily, by the way, it's a whole other conversation, it is the problem. It's spending.
Right. And let's also remember that, you know, when we were still coming out of the pandemic, when Joe Biden took office, inflation was under control. Inflation wasn't a problem, and we just were coming out of that pandemic. And so it is his actions. It is his war on energy. It is his war on regulations. All of these things start to add up. And we're going to see it in sharp relief tomorrow when the inflation number comes out. And then on Thursday, when the producer price index comes out, economic term, that's how much it costs to make stuff. At the wholesale level, and when that comes out high again, that could be in the double digits is what we're expecting. It means inflation is going to continue to escalate. It's getting more expensive to make stuff, which means those higher prices are going to get passed on to consumers at the store.
Fascinating, of course, to see that it's not just Republicans who are recognizing the Bidenocracy as not good for your pocketbook. Here you go. CNN's polling shows that, CNN poll, by the way, 94% of Republicans say economic conditions are poor. Okay, that's not surprising. Fine, we, you know, can do math. Independents, though, 81%, they also apparently can do math. Even Democrats, only 54% say economic conditions are poor. There's a couple ways to look at that, Mark, right? It's like on the one hand, a majority of Democrats recognize this is not good. On the other hand, who are the other 46? Kind of wonder about that.
Are they just lying to cover for their own failed president? I mean, this is really, and we've got to remember this. You know, I know there are a lot of other issues that are being talked about, correctly so. Ukraine, obviously the upcoming abortion decision by the Supreme Court. But voters go to the election box for the same reason they went back in 1992 and James Carville said it right. It's the economy, stupid. And that's what people are going to be voting on. And right now, the Democrat Party, the left, have nothing to run on. They can't point to economic gains. They can't point to better lifestyle, better gas prices. It's a disaster for them, and they are quickly, I mean, they're out of time already. There's nothing that they can do that's going to flip a switch and get the economy moving in the right direction in the few short months that remain, and they know it. That's why they're trying to create all of these other issues, try to get their base ginned up, because they're in for a shellacking of historic proportions.
And, you know, you're really just giving voice to what the data is showing, because, again, back to another CNN poll here, Biden's policies, have they improved economic conditions in the U.S.? 55% overall said made conditions worse. Only 19% improved conditions. I think those are what we call leftists. I mean, people that are just diehard Democrat no matter what. They don't care what's going on in the country. But even with the Democratic Party, only 7 in 10 approve of Biden on the economy, according to this poll. So, I mean, it seems like there are people that recognize that, You know, on the one hand, Democrats are saying, okay, the economy's not good, a majority of them. But then they're still trying to say, well, Biden's done a good job. And to that, I just want to know, what could he have possibly done that was helpful given the inflation problem that we're seeing?
Yeah, and the matter is, how much more, how much worse can it get? But I mean, you've got to ask yourself, though, in what area of government or our world society are we better off with Joe Biden as president? The economy is in the tank. Obviously, we've got a war going on in Europe. We've got, obviously, our allies questioning our leadership and our adversaries mounting at the door looking. Our borders out of control. I mean, there is nothing that we can point to say, well, we're better off with Joe Biden as being president, except, you know, maybe the news sometimes will lead with something other than the president these days.
Mark, if the Republicans get the messaging right going into this midterm, what do you think is a general but fair target in terms of pickups in the House and pickups in the Senate?
Well, I really hate to put a number to it right now, and that's not my area of expertise, since, you know, we're a policy shop here at America First. But I think when you run on the policies of the former president, the things that he championed, the things that America knows works. And this is the biggest difference. I mean, I've been in politics a long time. When you're the outside, when you're the party outside of power, you've got to convince the voters that your plans, your policies, your prescriptions are what's right for the country or whatever's on the voters' minds. We don't have to prove anything to anyone right now. They can just look at their open their eyes and see that what we have right now is a disaster. It wasn't that way 2 years ago. So let's put those people back in power, but then hold them accountable. That's the key. If you're going to run on America First policy, say you're the America First candidate, then when you get in office, you'd better pass the America First agenda into law. And if you need a president, well, we'll get you that a couple of years down the road.
Mark Lauder, good to see you, sir. We'll be talking to you more as this election gets closer. Democrats have accused Republicans of radicalism since the leak of the draft opinion that could overturn Roe v. Wade. But has the GOP's position on abortion actually changed in the past 50 years? Senior writer at National Review, Charles Cook, gives his thoughts after the break. First, I want to talk to you about protecting your online data. A lot of companies promise your privacy is guaranteed, but we know that's not true. That's why you need a new privacy and cybersecurity application tool called Secure. It's spelled S-E-K-U-R. Secure is using proprietary encryption and offering secure instant messaging and email. With Secure, all of your communications based on servers and data centers hosted in Switzerland without using any of the big tech platforms. Look, privacy is a big issue now. Without real security, people can read your emails, your messages, even your bank information. Secure is your solution to stop the constant theft of your digital identity. It costs only $5 for the messenger, only $10 for the messenger and email combination package. Go to secure.com and take back your privacy today. That's S-E-K-U-R.com and use promo code BUCK for 25% off. We'll be right back with more Hold the Line. The left has completely lost their minds over the leaked decision that will likely overturn Roe v. Wade. It's not just the protesters outside of the House of Supreme Court Justices either. Government officials and many in the media are really trying to push the narrative. The decision just shows how radical Republicans have become. Watch this one.
Far-right extremism of this Supreme Court has obstructed the will of the people when it comes to voting rights, when it comes to housing rights, and now when it comes to reproductive freedom, justice, and bodily autonomy.
This is the reason we cannot have a right-wing fringe court dictate to the rest of America.
This characterization of the Republican Party in its current incarnation as the most extreme political organization in history.
Well, I certainly agree with that characterization. I agree, Nicole, that this is a seismic shift. I don't think any of us have ever experienced the loss of a constitutional right.
So the left now believes Republicans, including members of the Supreme Court, have radically shifted their views on abortion over the years. But is it conservatives who've actually changed at all in this one? I mean, we need to just obliterate the nonsense here. Here to walk us through reality on all this is senior writer at National Review, Charles Cook. Mr. Charles, good to see you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
So you wrote an article for National Review stating the Republican Party hasn't changed on abortion. And in fact, while President Reagan was drafting his essay for the Human Life Review, Biden was one of only two Democrats to cast a committee vote in favor of a Republican-written constitutional amendment that would have overturned Roe v. Wade. Tell us more about this one. I think very few people know that.
Yeah, well, this is important because irrespective of what you think about abortion, it's a fact, a stone-cold fact, that the only figure in this drama that has changed is Joe Biden. First off, the Constitution hasn't changed. The Constitution has been the same since it was first penned and then amended. There's never been a right to abortion. And a lot of people who favor abortion will acknowledge that when pushed. But the Republican Party has been opposed to Roe v. Wade right from the first moment. There's this idea that Biden's pushing that this is somehow Trumpism or, you know, this extreme MAGA movement, or as you just heard in your clips, some shift within conservatism. It's just not true. I went back and I read the Republican Party platforms right from the beginning, from 1976, 3 years after Roe v. Wade was decided. That's the first presidential election. The Republican candidate in 76 is Gerald Ford, not a bomb thrower. And the platform calls for a human life amendment. Gerald Ford himself was in favor of a constitutional amendment to overturn Roe. But the Republicans said, no, we want a constitutional amendment to restore the rights of the unborn. And that is the Republican position, give or take, from 1976 until now. Nothing's changed. What's changed is that after 50 years of fighting and making the political case and making the judicial case, which should never have had to be made, Republicans look as if they may be about to get their own way.
I've been a little bit stunned at how weak a lot of the arguments that are being bandied about against this possible reversal, Charles, have been. I mean, I think probably the dumbest is but they're overturning precedent. It's as though people who are making arguments about the Supreme Court don't understand the history or the function of the court. But even some people you might think would have a better grasp of the facts, better grasp of reality, have stumbled a lot. I mean, here is United States Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen explaining why we should leave abortion decisions to women and not to the state.
Well, I believe that eliminating the right of women to make decisions about when and whether to have children would have very damaging effects on the economy and would set women back decades. Roe v. Wade and access to reproductive health care, including abortion, helped lead to increased labor force participation.
I wonder if someone should send her a memo. The people who are pro-life do not care what the labor participation rate effect may be from not having abortion.
Well, she makes two mistakes there. The first is on the merits. I don't agree with what she said. I also, as you say, don't think it's relevant. I mean, we could probably solve traffic in Los Angeles by murdering 30% of the people who live there, but we wouldn't do that.
Not a good idea.
But also, if you think that abortion is important, then lobby your state legislator, not the Supreme Court. Yeah, the reason that the Supreme Court gets involved in, say, speech cases or gun cases or due process cases is because the Supreme Court has been empowered to do so by the plain text of the Constitution. And so if a government infringes upon, say, the right to keep and bear arms, the Supreme Court is empowered to determine whether or not that law should stand relative to the higher law that is the Constitution. But that's not the case with abortion. So whether you agree with me and think that abortion is wrong or with Janet Yellen and think that it's really good, the Supreme Court's not the place to have that argument. And, you know, she talks about Roe as if it were a legislative decision, which, of course, in a sense, it was. But in a more important sense, it wasn't. The Supreme Court is not a legislature. And it seems that a lot of people can't grasp this. If Roe is overturned, and I hope it will be, this question goes back to the state legislatures. Abortion is not banned. It's not mandated either. The question is returned to the people as the Constitution intended, because it was not one of the few areas of public life that are carved out from democratic control.
Well, I wanted to have you react, Charles, if I can, to noted constitutional scholar and globally renowned fitness expert Brian Stelter at CNN. Watch this.
People don't like to think about something like this, and a lot of folks don't frankly know the details about reproduction and about reproductive rights. So, Elijah, that seems to me to be a challenge for the media. There's some education to do.
People don't know enough about reproduction? That was a new argument.
Well, if the media is to play a role here, as Brian Stelter wants, then it will educate people on what Roe v. Wade is and does. It will educate people on why Roe v. Wade doesn't make any constitutional or legal sense. And then it will educate people on what Roe did in setting abortion policy that is out of step with the majority. I'm under no illusions, Buck, as to the scale of pro-life sentiment in America. I accept that I am not going to get my own way on this. I'm not going to get my own way in states such as New York and California, but I'm also probably not going to get my own way in states such as Florida, where I live. There's a lot of persuasion to be done. But Roe sets a baseline for abortion that is so far out of step with what the average voter wants. They, if they knew that, and I mean, this is perhaps where Brian Stelter has some point, albeit not in the way he thinks. If they knew that, they would be a lot more angry with Roe than they are. I think it's very important that the press does cover this correctly. Now, as for the idea that people don't know about the birds and the bees, I don't think that's true. I don't think that the ignorance is the problem here. I do think the judicial usurpation of people's democratic rights is the problem.
Well said. Charles Cook, good to see you. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Thanks for having me.
As if things weren't bad enough for American consumers, parents are now facing a massive shortage of baby formula in stores around the country. We'll have more on that with the First TV's Morgan Zegers in a moment. Look, I'm not a guy who gets all freaked out about things easily, so when I first heard out about home title theft, I wanted to just sort of say, come on, really? Turns out it's real. It's a crime that can really hit you hard. It can ruin you financially. Some cyber criminal forges your name off the title to your home online and takes over as the new owner. Turns out they can really do this. It's not as rare as you'd think. According to the FBI, this crime is growing faster than credit card fraud, and you're not covered by homeowners insurance or common identity theft programs. Home Title Lock earned my trust. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect anyone tampering with your home's title, they mobilize to help shut it down. Here's what I urge you to do. Number one, go to HomeTitleLock.com and read the testimonials from FBI agents and government officials. Number two, register your home address to see if you're already a victim and don't even know it. When you protect your home, tell them Buck Sexton sent you to get my listener discount. HomeTitleLock.com. Again, HomeTitleLock.com. Morgan Zegers is up next. Stay with us. American mothers are growing desperate as a baby formula shortage has hit store shelves across the country. According to Datassembly, which tracks baby formula stock at more than 11,000 stores, 40% of the top-selling baby formula products were out of stock at the end of April. To make matters worse, the group's CEO claims they don't see the shortage slowing down anytime soon. The shortage comes after the FDA issued a massive recall on formula from a manufacturing plant in Michigan. Here's what White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki had to say about the shortage just yesterday.
The FDA issued a recall to ensure that they are meeting their obligation to protect the health of Americans, including babies, who, of course, were receiving or taking this formula, and ensure safe products are available. That's their job. Ensuring the availability of these products is also a priority for the FDA, and they're working around the clock to address any possible shortage.
For more on this, let me bring in First TV contributor Morgan Zegers. Morgan, good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Buck.
So I'm seeing this all over social media. Can you give us a sense as to just what the scale is here? This is, it seems like there are a lot of places across the country where not only are parents going into one or two stores trying to find baby formula unsuccessfully, it's just not on the shelves, but people are now setting up groups online to try to track down baby formula. They're paying crazy high prices for it. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens when any important and necessary item, especially for day-to-day getting by, becomes limited. And we see that in other countries like Venezuela especially. But it's really uncomfortable and scary to have it happen in a country like America, where I've heard stories of women going, spending hours a day, going to six stores, calling stores 3 hours away from them sometimes, asking if they have any available baby formula. And so this is a very serious issue. I would say when something like this happens, Buck, it's very scary because when you mess with someone's kids and the well-being of their children, it's a whole new level, right? We've seen the rise of mama bears across the country, especially with the sexualization and indoctrination of kids in the school classrooms. But now we have to go through this crisis, right? And then trust the Biden administration to handle it, trust the FDA to get us through this. And right at a time where trust in government is at an incredibly high low. A lot of people are really struggling right now. So when a situation like Afghanistan, a situation like COVID, the Biden administration could very well crumble in this great challenge as well.
Do we have any sense as to what is, obviously there was a recall. I think there was a major company, major manufacturer, that had a number of babies that they believe actually might've died from contaminated, bacterial contaminated baby formula. So they had a recall. But is that the only reason for this? I mean, what are the factors that have led to the shortage of baby formula?
Well, Buck, especially under the Biden administration, transparency is something that's really hard to come by. So when you look at the reasons for this, yes, they list that FDA declaration that stopped the baby formula in a factory recently, but they're also citing something as vague as COVID-19 regulations and the supply chain issues that came from COVID-19 during the pandemic. What does that even mean? And we're a little too far into this to be blaming COVID-19 shutdowns on supply chain issues, when in reality, this is much due to the part of just leadership failure, political failure in this country. So a lot of people are starting to doubt. Like I said earlier, we have a distrust of our government. And when we hear their reasonings, it's hard to really trust that that's the reason these things are happening. Now, I will say what's really disturbing is the reaction of people on social media and the reaction of the left. And so when we found out Roe v. Wade could potentially be struck down by the Supreme Court, you had leftist sources online encouraging and teaching women how to create abortion pills in their own home to abort their child with DIY abortion pills. Now, that being said, they're telling us to not turn to more natural ways to create our own breast milk, own baby formula at home, because that might be too dangerous for the baby. But no, it's totally okay to create a DIY abortion pill that could kill something inside of you.
Huffington Post reporter Igor Bobik was writing about the shortage over the weekend, and he tweeted, this is a left-wing individual, asked a handful of senators tonight if they're concerned about the baby formula shortage. They had no idea what I was talking about. Does kind of feel like the political class, a little disconnected from folks who are paying really high gas prices, really high everything prices, and can't even find baby formula.
Yeah, exactly. Well, politics really, until it hits you personally, you don't want to be involved. Most people say, oh, I don't do politics. Most people don't pay attention. Most people don't show up on election day. But it's stuff like indoctrinating children in the classroom. It's stuff like causing gas to be over $4 a gallon. It's this kind of personal day-to-day stuff where now, I don't know about you, but my groceries are not just 8% higher in cost when I go to the grocery store. It's like double the cost on my grocery bill. So we are being impacted on very personal levels with every aspect of our life. And like I said, you are now hitting a new level when you are affecting the health and well-being of parents' children. They're babies that need to eat, and they can only eat this baby formula because some moms out there cannot breastfeed. I am a big advocate for breastfeeding and keeping it natural, but some women just can't do that. And so I'm very concerned for those children. What's even scarier though, Buck, is under socialist and communist regimes, when you have these shortages, especially famines, food shortages, you see the regime start to advocate for not having as many children. And that is what led to eventually the one-child policy in communist China, where you had to abort by force. Your government aborted your child in communist China if you had more than one kid, and then they would legally sterilize you, forcibly sterilize you. So it's very, very serious when you look into how government tries to handle these problems.
Switching gears, Morgan, retail giant Target has announced that it will start selling chest binders and, quote, gender-affirming swimsuits during Pride Month this year. What is going on here? What are these, first of all, what are these items and why?
Yeah. I mean, Buck, I will say I'm a 25-year-old woman. And like most women my age, we spend a lot of money at Target on various things. I will say I've been trying to be a more conscious consumer. And so, for example, I tried to put a lot of my pictures into picture frames, and I went to Target and some other stores to try and find some picture frames to hang things on my wall. But I ended up just taping the things onto my wall because everything was made in communist China. So that's one strike against Target. And it's why I don't really buy many things from them in the first place. The next thing is that they've now partnered with Tomboy X, which is an LGBTQ plus community company, and they create these sports bra looking things and this underwear that allows young girls to put the sports bra on. And basically, sorry for this basic language, but it allows them to cover their boobs, their chest, and it makes it look like they're more boyish. And so they can pretend to be boys by wearing this very tight sports bra called a chest binder. So now Target is going to be selling these chest binders and underwear that allows you to keep things tucked. I will keep it simple. Sorry for saying such weird things on your show, but that is now going to be available in Target. So you might say, okay, it's nice that this is now available for the few trans people that are out there. But Buck, I really have to question this, because if 1% of the population, including adults in America, is trans, then Target's not going to make a lot of money from this. Why would they offer a product like this unless they had interesting intentions? And I would say this goes beyond just trying to offer the chest binders to the 1% of the population that may need them. Instead, it's to allow access to chest binders for all of the young kids out there that are starting to fall for the indoctrination. And you can even see online that the leftists are saying this is good because now kids can lie to their parents, ask for this sports bra when secretly they know that it's to bind their chest. So this is really disgusting, and I will not be going back into Target, as much as I used to love that place.
Morgan, thanks for laying it down for us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Beck.
Likely future owner of Twitter, Elon Musk, made a big statement regarding the possible future of President Trump's account on that platform. We'll have the video for you in quick hits up next. Elon Musk makes a huge statement about President Trump's Twitter account, and another gem from the head of the Ministry of Truth, Nina Jankowicz, has emerged. We got those stories on quick hits. Let's dive into it together. Look, there's a reason that the libs are in constant meltdown just over the thought of Twitter being turned into a free speech platform by Elon Musk, the richest man on the planet. They hate the idea of free speech in general. They don't want people to be able to question the so-called consensus on a whole range of issues. They want to be able to say, shut up, peasant, do as you're told, especially on social media platforms. Elon has said that's not going to fly anymore. He said that they're would be, assuming his purchase of Twitter goes through, a new ethos on that platform of, unless you're breaking the law or doing something very specifically problematic that both sides of the political spectrum could agree is problematic, doxing people's private information, something like that, unless you're engaged in that kind of behavior, free speech, baby, that's the way it's supposed to go. And that might include none other than Donald Trump's free speech rights, because as we remember, Donald Trump was suspended from Twitter after the 2020 election. The sitting president of the United States was kicked off of a social media platform. Elon Musk, when he was talking earlier today, brought this up, and he said he'd reverse that decision.
It was not correct to ban Donald Trump. I think that was a mistake, because it alienated a large part of the country and did not ultimately result in Donald Trump not having a voice. He is now going to be on Truth Social, as will a large part of the sort of the right in the United States. And so I think this could end up being, frankly, worse than having a single forum where everyone can debate. I guess the answer is that I would reverse the perma ban. Obviously, I don't own Twitter yet, so this is not like a thing that will definitely happen, because what if I don't own Twitter? But my opinion, and Jack Dorsey, I want to be clear, shares this opinion, is that we should not have perma bans.
Should not have permanent bans either. Isn't that interesting? Oh no, the libs are all freaking out, because what if people can actually disagree with us on a platform that's become a primary method of political and news communication for millions and millions of people? Oh no. There's another thing I want to talk to you about for a second here. There were people like me who were basically right all along about COVID, every major decision, every major inflection point in the pandemic. I'm just going to say it. Got it right. Right on masks, right on lockdowns are stupid, right on Fauci is an evil tyrant, right on forcing vaccination is a bad policy. It's not going to stop the wave of COVID. Shouldn't be forced on children. I mean, just go down the list. Bill Gates, though, who somehow became, remember, if you weren't a doctor, they'd say, you're not a doctor. You kind of, Bill Gates is a guy who made kind of crappy software in the 90s and made far too much money off of it. Bill Gates was because of the Gates Foundation, held up as some kind of an expert on this stuff. And he's been horrible and wrong on a lot. And now he's saying, well, you know, we just didn't realize early on that COVID had a pretty low fatality rate and is really actually just dangerous to the elderly. Watch.
It wasn't until early February when I was in a meeting that experts at the foundation said, there's no way, you know, there's been too much travel without diagnosis for us to contain this. And then at that point, we didn't really understand the fatality rate. You know, we didn't understand that it's a fairly low fatality rate and that it's a disease mainly of the elderly, kind of like flu is, although a bit different than that. So that was a pretty scary period,
right,
where the world didn't go on alert, including the United States, nearly as fast as it needed to.
That's just total revisionist bullcrap. We did know very early on what the real fatality rate was for COVID and that it really was only dangerous to the elderly. But there are a bunch of people who wanted a massive reset of society, and so they took this as an opportunity to advance certain politics, to advance their control. Outrageous stuff, my friends. And then there's the Soviet Mary Poppins, also known as Nina Jankowicz, the would-be Minister of Truth within the Disinformation Board at the Department of Homeland Security. She just, back in the day, wanted everybody to know that Hunter Biden getting like $80,000 a month from Burisma, nothing wrong with that. Watch.
The accusation is that Hunter Biden, in serving on the board of a Ukrainian company, which, you know, he is allowed to do, he was not the only foreign expert serving on the board of a Ukrainian company, was involved in some corrupt behavior of that company. This company has been investigated for a long time. Burisma is the name of the company. There's never been any indication that Hunter Biden was involved in anything untoward. And this has, you know, spun into a whole other host of nonsense, basically, that Joe Biden withheld aid to Ukraine in order to get a resolution to this investigation into Burisma and get his son out of the limelight. It's just, it's a load of nonsense.
You know what the problem is with paying Hunter Biden $80,000 a month while his dad is running U.S. foreign policy in Ukraine? Hunter Biden is a drug addict and a lunatic. That's a pretty big red flag right there, isn't it? $80,000 a month. That's it for tonight's Hold the Line. The No Spin News of Bill O'Reilly is next. Shields high.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. The complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.